Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be here on the 4th, our independence, right? It's a privilege and an honor to be preaching today. Thanks for having us again. Don't leave. We will have food, so we got plenty. Today we'll be in Philippians chapter 3, 18 through 21. That is Philippians 3, 18 through 21.
What was it?
Philippians chapter 3, 18. Starting at verse 18 through 21.
One more time.
Philippians 3.
3.
Yes, 3.
18.
Good. For many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you ever weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whom God is their belly, whom glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. For hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall change our vile body. It may be fashioned like unto the glorious body. According to the working thereby, he is able even to do all things unto himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come in your presence, humbling our hearts before you, a holy and righteous God. Lord, I pray this message that you laid on my heart goes out to those today, that it lodges into the hearts. It wakens those that need to be awakened with the truth. It rattles those that you need to rattle. It creates a warning that our time is drawing near. We know this world don't have much more left in it. And our time is limited to let our light shine and be part of the ministry that you have for each and every one of us in our lifetime. Let us not hide and be silent. Let our voice be loud to the voice of truth that is in us. Is a voice of truth that this world needs to hear. God, I pray, Lord, that you just be with this message. Lord, I pray over our list, our prayer list today. God, we lift them up to you. Our hearts mourn for those that are experiencing sickness and hardship of this life. We lift them up to you, Holy God. And know that you are in control of all of it. Your will be done one way or the other. If we know if they're not healed in this lifetime, if they're yours, they'll be healed in the next. God, I pray that you be with our nation that has turned her face from God. We pray that she repents of her wickedness and turn back to true biblical Christianity that made this nation great. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Philippians, this is what we were one of, and you may have heard that term, prison epistle. I've used it. It's one of Paul's prison epistles. Meaning, Paul was in jail, in prison, while he was writing this letter to the Philippi area believers. Could you imagine being in a prison and writing a letter of encouragement? Encouragement to the Philippians, where he is saying, I am mourning over you. See, he was not concerned about where he was at. He knew everything that he was experiencing was only temporary. He knew whatever was being thrown his way, God had it. If you follow Paul, you will know his story. It starts in Acts. He's on that road to Damascus, and he is going to persecute the saints, persecute the believers. And he had that come to Jesus moment, right? He is struck. God said, hey, what's up? When we meet God, that's what happens. He struck him blind. He was blind for 3 days. If you follow the story, when his eyes opened, his life totally changed. He seen his true purpose in this life. When we look at our purpose in this life, all that should truly matter is, does our life point to Jesus? And Paul got that, so he's in this jail cell and he's writing this letter. You know, when we hear that word in verse 18, or that phrase, the enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, when we think of enemies, what are we thinking of? Well, if we look at how the world views an enemy, a physical enemy, and some of you guys served in the military, they are the enemies that are a physical threat to our freedom, to our safety, to our independence. If you go back and you look at history, which I like to, you look at the Civil War, and some of you guys may be familiar and read the stories of the Civil War, the American Revolution War, the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II. You look at that, you can see the enemies. Even today, we can look at, if you follow the news headline, you can see America has real physical enemies that are a threat, like Russia, China, Iran. They are all threats to our security. Shame for our administration. Their spineless, boneless actions. Their hate for America. It stirs my spirit. Weaken America and strengthen our enemies. If we don't watch it, America could fall before our eyes. That freedom that so many people fought for, that independence that so many people fought for, so we can have freedom to worship today, could be gone. When we keep that in mind, we think of enemies. And Paul's using a phrase here. He says, the enemies of the cross. The enemies of the cross. I came across this, and I know I probably read this before, Alex D. Tocqueville. 1805, 1859, he visited the U.S. and found the reason for a national success. He looked everywhere, and this is what he said. And I've read this before, but I felt led to just read it again. He said, "I sought for the key of America's greatness and genius in her harbors, and her fertile fields, her boundless forests, and the rich mines, vast worlds of commerce, and her public school systems, institution of learning. I sought for her unmatchless constitution. It's not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understand the secret of her genius and her power. America is great because she is good. If America ever ceased to be good, she will cease to be great." It was not the government. It was not her commerce or trade. It was until he came into the churches during that time period, and that was 1800s. 1805, 1859, that's some time ago. It was not until he came to the pulpit and the man of God was up here preaching the gospel on flame with fire of righteousness and holiness that we should live a life that is separate from this world. You will not hear that message today proclaimed in the pulpits. You see, when men of God don't stand, and when a nation don't heed the warning of men of God saying we need to not do that, and they don't want to hear it, they don't want to heed the warnings. We tell them abortion, it is demonic. Killing a child, yes, things can happen. People get pregnant, but it's not that child's fault. That is murder. They will laugh us to scorn. My body, my choice, right? That's what they will proclaim. But I'll tell you, it's not your body when there's a baby. You have another body in you that God has placed in your womb. That is murder. But then they will look at somebody like me and say, "We don't want to hear that. We want to shut that person up." Why don't pulpits rain that message today? Even in this area, how many will be proclaiming that righteousness and that holiness? How many will be lifting, saying, "There is a God that is holy. There is a God that is righteous. He calls us to walk that way." We may fail, but we got to try. We got to press on. We got to press on. Spiritual warfare. I preached on that a few times here. When we look at spiritual warfare, my favorite passages on spiritual warfare is in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. But when we look at spiritual warfare, we can see several things. Ephesians 6, 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of this world, and against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Our enemy, our spiritual enemy, is highly organized. Highly organized. We will find several things here when we look at spiritual warfare. First, Satan will be looked as a fool. Meaning, we look at Satan and we're like, we don't give him enough credit. We're like, he's a fool. He can't do nothing. Blah, blah, blah. He ain't organized. He likes that. He doesn't want you to know that he's organized so he can infiltrate your life. Don't think so. Just look at this world. Just look at this world. Look at the government. Look at our education system. How corrupt it is. That is the enemy working, pulling those strings. When you look at the education system, how corrupt it is, and about how they teach evolution. Evolution is not science. Well, they will tell you that. They will fill our kids with lies, and they will accept those because the parents and the church is not standing in the gap to tell them, to fill them with truth, that evolution is false. It is not. It cannot truly be proven with science. It is a theory. To believe in the Bible is stronger and has more proof and more evidence than evolution could ever prove. There are people that the evolutionists know that lie. Write books and they know they're lying and they admit it on file that they know it's not true, but they're indoctrinating anyway in their education system, accepts it because they want that to be their God. The God of this world, of Satan. They infiltrate our kids' lives. And we just let them. We just let them. Satan is no fool. Just look at your life, my life. How much time do you spend praying a day? How much time do you spend studying your Bible daily? How much time do you spend worshiping and praising the holy name of God daily? When do you have that passion and that fire when you walk out these doors? You want to tell somebody about Jesus, but you leave it here. You leave it right here. You don't have that passion, that fire, that you just don't want the service to end. Preach on. Preach for hours. I want to hear more. Let's do more services. Let's reach more people. Where is that fire at? Where is that passion at? Oh, we're not growing. Why are we not growing? Because we lack that passion, that fire, when we walk out these doors to tell people about Jesus. We're not growing because we lack the Holy Spirit that encourages us to go out there and do it. We lack that. Do we look at ourselves and how the enemy is working us over? How we don't even want to, we don't feel the urge to study the Scripture. Why wouldn't we? The Holy Word of God is beautiful. Why would we go a day? Oh, if it feels like a check mark, oh, I read that Scripture, oh, I read my Bible, I'm doing God a favor. You're not doing God no favor because He don't honor that. He sees your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows when you want to learn more about Him. You're just doing it to check the mark off. God does not care for that. He wants you to come all in. Satan ain't no fool. He may have your life right now in his hands. If you don't have desire to seek God more. The other thing is, Satan and another thought is, Satan and demons are more powerful than God. Satan and his demonic host is not powerful than our God. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how are thou cut down to the ground which do weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend up on heaven, I will exert my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit." Lucifer, the morning star, one of the beautiful angels that you would have ever seen. You can see that in the, I think, Ezekiel 28. speaks of how he's a cherubim. And he was actually over the cherubim. So he was a leader. He had a position of prestige. But he said, I want to be God. In Revelations 12 and 4 tells us, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of the heaven and it cast them to the earth. That's where we get the fallen angels. See, Satan deceived a third of the angels, which was a lot of them. And they were cast down because they were not more powerful than God. Our God is powerful. Our God is strong. He is stronger than anything the enemy can hit us with. Not because of us, because of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Ephesians 6:10 said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Stand in that position of the Lord of the power of His might. Be strong. Even though the enemy is highly organized, he is nothing compared to our God. Our God is more powerful than the forces of darkness. Our God is an all-consuming light. Light cannot survive darkness. Our God is all good. Satan is evil. Our God will hold us up and keep us pressing on if we are standing in that position, if we are seeking Him with everything we got. Sin in our life will destroy that connection that we're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit to stand in the power of His might. When sin is in our life, it destroys us. It's like a cancer that eats us up inside. And the devil just has his way because our God is holy. Our God is righteous. He cannot look on you when you're sinning. So He leaves you there. You have to repent of your sin. You have to turn from your wickedness. If you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you and chasten you and scourge you to the point of repentance. So when we look at spiritual warfare, we need to understand our God is powerful. He's more powerful than any demonic host about us. And we also need to understand that the Satan and his demons, they are cunning. If you look at the very beginning in Genesis, when God created this world, it was good. And He created Adam and Eve. And, you know, there was no curse at that time. It was beautiful. And I believe they were probably one of the most intelligent human beings ever. They were so smart. I believe they could access 100% of their brain. And we nowhere near can access that. But Adam allowed Satan to come into that garden. And Eve allowed Satan to deceive her, and they were intelligent, but they fell for his deception. So don't ever think that we can handle Satan on our own, because we will fail every time. It's through the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. It's only through that position. It's not until we put the armor of God on. It's not until we gird our loins with truth. That truth of the gospel. That truth to stand. He is the true way. He is the only way. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except me. There is no other way to Christ. Only through the Father, Jesus, we come to Him. We have that breastplate of righteousness that He puts on that protects our heart, not of our righteousness, but of God and what He did at the cross, that righteousness of the cross. Our feet shone in peace of the preparation of that gospel of peace. That gospel, that firm peace that surpasses everything that we're going through. We know as Paul was in prison, everything's going to be okay because there is a reason. I'm here for a reason. I'm in this cell for a reason. It's okay. Our helmet of salvation, protection, our mind. The sword, the Word of God, that sword of the Spirit. That shield of faith. All them darts that come at us, some flaming missiles, all that depression, that anxiety. We have that shield of faith to hold on and knowing, be still, for He is God. Stand there. You may not understand what you're going through, but you have that faith. You have that trust. You commit your life. You continue on. You press to the mark. Put on the armor of God that we may withstand all the wiles, all the crafts, all the tricks, all the deceptions of our enemy. But are we doing that? Are we doing that? When we look at this world, when we look at our government, when we look at our education system, when we look at our lives, when we look at the church, we got to understand those that are doing evil are enemies of the cross. Devil is pulling the strings. You see, Satan learned a long time ago. He can destroy the church better within. He understood he could destroy it. And that's what he's doing. And this is what Paul is referring to before. In Philippians 3, 2 through 1, it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. And verse 19 said, whom in his destruction God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. He's speaking of people within the body of Christ, what we would say in the church. When those that are in the church that live life contrary to the gospel, those that choose not to live a different life, but when they walk out in that world, they look just like that world. There is no difference between them and that lost person. And then somebody asks, oh, you go to church? Yeah, I go down there. You're destroying the testimony of that church by being that type of Christian. When you don't have that passion, that fire to go out there and to witness to those. When you don't have that passion, that fire to study your Word of God and to pray continuously to reach heaven and say, Lord, what do you need me to do this day? I'll reach up with God. Use me today. Use me. I don't care what it looks like. use me. Do we pray like that? Do we seek His face like that? Do we yearn to be used by Him? Or are we like, no, I don't want it? If you feel that way, you are the problem. You are enemies of the cross. Matthew 13, 24 through 31. Another parable put He forth unto him, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But when man slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did I sow good seed in the field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto him, an enemy has done this. Nay, listen, we together the tares, ye root also the wheat and them. Let's both grow together into the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. Wheats and tares, they are in the church. Satan, we have been asleep at the wheel. And because we have been sleeping, the enemy has infiltrated the church and has placed people, agents of Satan in our churches to cause chaos, to cause confusion. Our God is not a God of confusion. He is of unity. He will guide us to the Spirit of truth. Those that are confused and are causing chaos in our church, they are not of God. They are placed by the enemy to cause division. And we are supposed to be discerning. But our sermon is lacking in today's church because we are not seeking God's face truly. How is your prayer life? You don't have to tell me. God knows. He knows how much you pray. He knows how much you study your Bible. He knows how much you seek Him. He knows what's running through your thoughts right now. He knows what's in your heart right now. He sees all. He knows all. And He looks down. And He said, listen to my man up here that's preaching the gospel. Accept or reject it. It's on you. You have choices in this life. In the end, when the end hits and when God comes back, He will judge. Those that are placed in our churches calling division, those that are pretending to be something they are not, will be removed. They will be removed and judged. They will be placed into hell. That is the end. Although we are supposed to be discerning and pick up when somebody is not pointing to Christ, when somebody is trying to cause confusion in the church and chaos, they are not acting as an agent of God. Carnality. Carnality, that is flesh, is one of the biggest threat to our churches today. Carnality. Romans 8, 3 through 10 says this, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that righteousness of law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded, to be carnal minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the flesh mind, is enmity. It is against God. For it is not my subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, those that are in the flesh, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is... If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is death because sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Righteousness. Carnality. Flesh. You see, Satan, all he can do is put that temptation out there. Our flesh will want to grab it every time. And what is hurting in my heart as I see this world, especially in America and the churches, is this carnality, this carnal Christian. It is sweeping America. It is those who prefer that desire to live in their sin, to please their flesh daily, but slap Christianity on it. They would prefer to go out there and talk the way they want to talk, no matter how filthy it is. They want to go out there and gossip as much as they want to gossip. They want to cause division. Their tongue wants to cause death. But they're going to slap, "I am a Christian." They want to look just like that world. They want to serve this world and God at the same time. "Oh, I want to make my millions or my money, but oh, I don't want to give anything up." They don't want to count the costs. They don't want to totally surrender their life. Say, "Here I am, God. Anything you want from me, I give it to you. I give it to you." The carnal Christian could care less about studying the Bible. They could care less about praying because it's inconvenient. "You know I'm busy, right? I don't have time for reading the Bible. I don't have time to study the Word of God. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do devotionals. I don't have time to pray and worship and praise my Holy God. I don't have time. I am busy." Carnality. And that world looks at you and it says, "Why should I want that? You look just like me. You go to church on Sunday, good. I'm going to the lake. That's my God. We're just getting God one way or the other." Misrepresenting Christ. Being that enemy of the cross. It's sad. We have this term, I mentioned it, it's called progressive Christianity. Looking at maybe doing a series on that, progressive Christianity, so we can get... I will talk to other Christians. I'll say, "Do you know this term, progressive Christianity?" And they're like, "I don't know it." I'm telling you, progressive Christianity is something of a virus that is spreading in our churches that is the new Christianity. It's the new Christianity. They do not believe that they need to repent of anything. They don't believe they are sinful in nature. They believe they are good. And they don't need to repent of anything. They believe their life should not be no separate than that world. Go out, hang out with your friends, do the things of the world. It's okay. God loves you anyway. He understands if you want to go party. He understands if you want to cuss. He understands if you want to talk in a filthy manner. He understands when you want to, when you don't want to do what you're supposed to do as a disciple. They will look at salvation, discipleship, as separate, and they are together. They say, well, I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, and that's it. That's all I need. I'm going to heaven. Now I can go live like the devil the rest of the week. No, our Bible says otherwise. They say we are progressive. We only believe certain parts of the Bible. We believe that the Bible has errors, and that part don't apply to us. The Old Testament, the New Testament, they're separate. They're not together. There's a lot of errors in the Bible. There's a lot of false truths in the Bible. We are better than the Bible. The Bible is out of date. Don't think that's not happening. When you start hearing people say, oh, you know, that was back then. We really don't have to do that now. There's problems. There's problems. When they say, oh, the letters of Paul, you know, Paul really, he wasn't Jesus, so it was a lot of his thoughts in there. They're not really pliable today. Don't think that's not going on. I promise you. And it probably is going on in these areas, these small country churches around here. Would not surprise me. Progressive Christianity. Our lives are supposed to be different. In closing, this quote, Alex D. Tocqueville, I think that's how you say it, when he was looking around and he was looking at America's success, and he said, I sought for the key to America's greatness and the genius in her harbors, in her fertile fields and her boundless forces, in her rich mind, vast world commerce, her public school system, her institutional learning. I sought for it, her matchless constitution, not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. Mary is great because she is good. If America ever ceased to be good, she shall cease to be great. I encourage you guys to Google sermons today. Hit those big guys up. They're making millions of dollars. See what they're preaching on today. Good thing about the internet is you can search up, you can look at sermons from everywhere, from California to anywhere, even go overseas, but in America. And look at the big names today. Listen to her sermons. See what components are going in there. See how much they talk about sin and hell. See how much they are preaching on God's righteousness and holiness. Millions and millions of people are following these guys. The truth is, it's not until the pulpits start preaching straight from the Word of God. It's not until the men of God stand and proclaim truth. That stand and say, our government is headed in the wrong direction. That's not unbiblical to say that. We are, look at Isaiah. Look at Daniel. They all stand in the gap and say, hey, that ain't right. Look at John the Baptist. Went right up there Tell them, you're not supposed to do that. We are supposed to stand in the gap where our government is turning from God. That's unbiblical. That is correct. When we stand and say abortion is wrong, and they said, no, you're wrong. And so the Word of God tells us abortion is wrong. When we stand up and say we need to focus more in our schools on the Word of God, teaching our children the truth from the Word of God, that is not wrong, that is biblical. When we say that evolution is not correct, and that it is filled with false data, and that believing in the Word of God is more reliable and more valid than a evolution textbook, and I would encourage anybody that wanted to talk about that with me, because I do a lot of studying. We will cease as a nation that once was founded under God. Now we want to be a nation that is above God. A nation that wants to be above God. We need to recognize that Satan has infiltrated our nation. Satan has infiltrated our church. He is dismantling it from within, and we're allowing him. We need to stand in that gap and say no more. We need to be a people that seek his face daily. We need a people that seek him with our hearts wide open. We cannot get enough of the Word of God. We yearn to study our Word of God, and knowing by looking at polls and research groups, that is not going on. People do not care less if they read their Bible. They care less if the Scripture guides their life. They care less. And the sad truth is many that are in the church houses today that are pretending to be something they're not, or they don't care because they just want to be here. We are supposed to stand up. We are supposed to be Christians. True Christians stand for the Word of God. We press on. Regardless of what they tell us, we press on with truth. For we stand in the power of our God and the power of His might. We put the armor of God on. We recognize Satan is an adversary that is intelligent, but he is no more intelligent than God. The Holy Spirit that lives in us, he doesn't have no more power than what we have. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. He cannot do nothing with a believer that will stand for the Word of God, that stands on that promise, even when Paul was in his prison cell. He did not lose hope. He had that peace. He was mourning those out there and said, there are enemies of the cross. And they're in your churches. These wolves. They're in your churches. America. They are in our churches. From the pulpits to those who are sitting in the pews. They're in our churches. They are causing divisions. When they walk out them doors, they look just like that world. We are not supposed to. We are supposed to stand on the Word of God. We are supposed to be different. As we stand today, as we stand, I want to ask you, are you different? Do you seek God's Word daily? Do you seek to pray daily? Do you watch your conversation and you don't blend in? Or you prefer not to? Reality? You don't have to. God gives you options. If you want to keep doing the path that you're on, you still want to be that fake Christian, you still want to lean on this new Christianity, you are serving the God of this world, and you are enemies of the cross. As we have a verse 2 of invitation.
Let's get our books turned to page 120.